This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Oh, SeatGeek. SeatGeek enables fans to quickly and easily discover the best deals for sports, concert, and theater events. The company's interactive stadium apps, deal score, and comparison shopping experience provide fans with the buying intelligence needed to find the best prices from trusted ticket markets and purchase tickets seamlessly. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek for your ticket needs. You're going to the CBI tournament, baby. Go to SeatGeek. I don't think.
No, I think you're wrong. I'm going to find out.
Oh, really?
Let's find out. Let's
all right, do it up, baby.
Voices of Wrestling.com/SeatGeek. Yeah, voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek, just like you. So when you're wondering which CBI game you're going to go to.
You're not going to watch Duquesne's win it.
No.
You're not going.
They're done.
Fucking bullshit, man.
All right, college basketball invitational. Oh, boy. Maybe it's not on SeatGeek. So go see other stuff on SeatGeek.
Yeah, you can't go CBI. There's baseball season starting up.
You got NCAA tournaments. There's Midwest. They're at the United Center. There are a few different other places. If you're in Chicago, you got a bunch of stuff. Oh, you know what? It might be because of my area where I'm at.
Ah.
That's fine. But look, All right. I think we can find them, though, if we need to.
Yeah, we can probably go see CBI games if we want. We'll do a live podcast from there. Courtside. Right?
Maybe on the court. They might let us go on the court.
Right? They won't care. They're not scoring anyway. Duquesne isn't in the tournament anymore. Nobody else is scoring. Anyway, welcome to the KMP Show episode number 15. I am your host, John Playtech.
Big old bitch.
And with me, as always, is my good friend, everybody's good friend, Mr. Rich Craich.
Game used cork.
Welcome to episode number 15. You can follow the show on Twitter at KANDP Show. You can follow me on Twitter at John's Voices as well. You can check out the Audio Boom feed at KANDPShow.com. That's KANDPShow.com. Also, be sure to check out the show on iTunes. Just search the KMP Show. And we thank you all for sharing the show with everybody. That's how the show grows. That's how we start a grassroots movement to become very, very good at this. And then hopefully, start selling some real ads. I mean, I love SeatGeek, so I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. But,
we got stuff before our show. No, the Audio Boom hooks us up with some before the show, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I want to do big boy reads, like FanDuel and Draft. Oh, shit. Never mind. They're not New York anymore.
Yeah. Whoops. What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, maybe not those. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to fight you, New York. Okay. Never mind.
Sorry. You're right. We'll go away. But no, it's not over. You can play the free contests.
Oh, that's right.
Which I'm sure will prove
everybody's
that people just
do.
Enjoyed playing the game and had nothing to do with any
nothing
of the financial.
At all to do with the money.
Yeah, right.
Nope. They just want it.
They just like the camaraderie. That
it's
comes.
The thrill. It's right. The thrill of the skill game that is choosing individual players on any given night and hoping that they do really well. It's a skill game. Mm-hmm. Except the commercials all said, enter for your chance to win $2 million on FanDuel and DraftKings, because it's not a game of skill. Maybe it is a game of skill. I don't know. Apparently, the guys that make money at it, you have to play like 500 times a day.
Yeah, you got to just eat shit for a lot of times.
It's like, oh, man, but I made $35 today. Like, oh, cool, bro. That's pretty cool.
What are you down this month? Oh, I'm down 580 this month. Okay, well, geez, maybe you shouldn't do that.
You know, a bunch of those guys, like, I won $1 million. I made $1 million playing FanDuel. It's like, oh, really? Is that sustained? Like, no, I just got really lucky and I won one of their $1 million tournaments. Like, oh, well.
What's your profit? Ah, about, $2,000. So like,
yeah, man, you know,
I played 17 tournaments every single day, but you know.
Yeah, and in a couple of years, I'm going to be in federal prison because I forgot to report it on my fucking income tax returns. You got to pay what?
Yeah,
fuck.
Some people don't read the fine print of stuff.
No. Ain't got no time for that. You know who doesn't read the fine print of stuff? Russell Okung. Was that it?
Yeah.
Rich,
yeah.
Was that an attempt?
It was.
Were you ushering?
Yeah.
And you, my man, I love it.
Yep.
I love it. Yes. Russell Okung does not like to read the fine print of his NFL contract. And this is point, 3,286 in why the NFL Players Association sucks a bag of giant dicks. This is not the swear-free episode, by the way. We said we were going to do that. We'll do that eventually.
You've already
later.
Ruined this one. Yeah, we're 2 minutes.
Yeah, I've already. Out. Yes, yeah. I've definitely already ruined it. This is from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Russell Okung, the agent, did a great job of persuading reporters that he did a great deal for Russell Okung, the client. Based on the true details, however, Russell Okung, the client, may at some point have a few pointed questions for Russell Okung, the agent. PFT has obtained the official details of the 5-year, not 5-year, $53 million, not $53 million contract Okung signed Thursday with the Broncos. As previously reported, it's a 1-year, $5 million deal with an option on the rest of the contract. But it's not even a $5 million deal for 1 year. He has a $1 million workout bonus, a $2 million base salary, and a $2 million roster bonus tied to being on the 53-man roster for any one game. So basically, the Broncos are giving Okung $1 million to participate in the offseason program with an option before week one to pay him another $4 million to actually play for them in 2016. Not a single penny of the deal is guaranteed at signing. Russell Okung made waves this offseason. He fired his sports agent. He fired his representatives. He says, I'm going to negotiate my own damn deals. I'm done giving you thieves 15%. Russell Okung maybe did or did not say that, you know, his agents are thieves. But he said, I'm going to represent myself. I'm going to negotiate my own deals. And that's what he got. Maybe a $1 million and maybe more. Now, odds are he's going to play. Odds are he's going to get through that roster bonus. But the odd thing about the deal is that it is continually set up like this. It's not as if, like, oh, if you're on the team, if you make that 53-man roster bonus, the rest of the contract kicks in. After the first year, it is a series of team options set up exactly this way, too. That is a
bad contract. How does this happen?
And you know, NFL contracts, you know, whenever like a quarterback signs and there's some huge number, like
5 years, $55 million from Mark Sanchez. And it's like, nah, he gets like $2 million guaranteed. And the rest is just, you know, garbage.
Right. Yeah. He has bonus money. Yeah. And then the rest is base salary. That's not guaranteed.
And a lot of them are like weird bonuses. A lot of them are like bonuses that you're going to get, like hit 2 touchdowns, get like $3 million. Like, it's stuff like that where right. There are a lot of things that like it, like, you're going to get a lot of those bonuses. So, I mean, to an extent, but it's also not as ridiculous as the number that you sort of look at and go, oh my God, $17 million a year for Mark Sanchez. And it's like, no, not really.
Right. That happened with Colin Kaepernick. Didn't it? Where the deal he signed to is essentially Russell Okung's deal. It is the Niners could do whatever they wanted with him, whenever they wanted. And they would only have to pay him like a couple of million dollars, but it was reported as this huge $117 million deal. And it was Andy Dalton, too, that same thing. A lot of these contracts are funny money, and it's just, you know, the big numbers that'll look good in 140 characters on Twitter. But this is another level, especially for a guy that's like, fuck you guys, I'm representing myself, and I'm going to make more money without you because I'm going to get to keep that extra 15% or whatever his representation agreement is. This is bad. And he's got a degree from a university, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was a marketing major at Oklahoma State. And apparently he's into, like, developing apps and stuff like that. He seems like a smart dude. Like, it seems like he has, like, a decent idea. And he wrote, like, an article for Geek Wire. Like, he seems to be a relatively smart dude. But I don't know what he's doing with this guy. Like, that's what I mean. Like, did he screw up? Or is this something that he thinks is a good ideal or a good deal? I don't know. Like, well, he can't think this is a good deal, right?
And it's a good deal if you plan on playing for the next 5 years.
Which, bad bet for an NFL player.
Right, for an NFL player, specifically a lineman. And how old is Russell? Let's see. Russell is 28 years old.
Yeah, that's a bad bet. You're going to play 5 more years.
Right, so you'll play... What are you going to play on that? You'll play 2 years on that. Okay. So you'll play, let's see, it was a 5-year, $53 million deal, and what were the, $1 million workout bonus, a $2 million base salary, and a $2 million roster bonus. So you'll make $5 million the first year, and then every single year you have to hope that the Broncos just don't tell you to go away, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's what's interesting, is that the Broncos can just basically go, yeah, we're done. Like, right. You have to be productive. It's not just playing. It's being like an elite level player
right.
for those all those 5 years. Or even this year, he can go to minicamp and they could go, you know what, we don't really like you. Like, you're out. Bye.
And here's the thing. You go to minicamp, what if you get hurt?
You're done, yeah.
What if there's an accident? You're in a car accident tomorrow. They're going to, you know, what do you think the Broncos are going to, you think John Elway is going to be like, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get a wheelbarrow full of money and give it to you for sure. Guy that he doesn't know. Like,
yeah, you are screwed if anything bad happens to you. You have a couple of bad games. That's all it takes. As an NFL player, you have 16 games to show the rest of the world, hey, look at what I can do. And okay, you're out there for every offensive play and you're involved on every play. Cause obviously, you know, wide receivers, sometimes they can take a play off here or there. You know, as an offensive lineman, you are every single play you got to go. And, you know, you're going to have to now play through injuries. You're going to have to, if you put through the concussion protocol, you know, you're going to have to play through all that because you negotiated this deal for yourself. That's god awful. That gives you guaranteed nothing. Zero. Zilch is guaranteed to you. Even if you make the roster bonus, you'll make your salary that year. Then you have to hope that they don't cut ties with you again and tell you to go goodbye.
Does the players union step in at some point, or can you not do that? I mean, he signed the deal. Like,
he agreed to it. I mean, the roster bonus thing and the funny money setup, it's been going that way for a while. I'd love to talk to an NFL expert. You know, Mike Florio, come on the show because you're listening, because we know you are busy, very rich man that you are. I want to know, is this going to be a topic for debate with the NFLPA? I know they apparently have got a bitchin' new head of the players union, who doesn't play any games, but you can't have this. You can't have your representatives signed to literally nothing contracts. I mean, in any other, this is almost an illusory contract. There's almost nothing promised here. We promise to pay you if we feel like it. That's essentially what it is. There's no, if you take a business law class, you'll learn about illusory contracts and read this. Read what it's about. It's basically the Broncos saying, "Yeah, if we decide to pay you, we'll pay you."
And it's a risky, and that's why I wonder if the players' union will step in, because that's a risky proposition to have this sort of deal be out there and be, you know, a guy having this deal, a guy that's an established player like this, because people can sign, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like,
people right, you always, don't want this to be the norm,
right? Like, people always talk about that. We're like, oh, why doesn't, like, you know, people mention it in like any sport, like they say, oh, why doesn't like LeBron, you know, take the minimum salary so that his team could build a good team? You know what I mean? Like, people say that, like, oh, he makes enough in endorsements, why doesn't he take the minimum salary? Or, like, you know, take $500,000 and just say, oh, I just want, you know, good players around me and all that. So, the guys don't want to do that because A, it sets a bad precedent, and the players' union is going to go, no. You're not
the players' union is going to step in, and
you're not working
be...
for $50,000 or $500,000. No. Like, that is not your worth. You've set, you know, we have a market here, and you're destroying the market. No, you're not doing that. Sorry. Like,
yeah, this is another level, because at least with the likes of Andy Dalton, with the Andy Dalton deal, he still got his bonus money, right? I mean, there was guaranteed money. It just wasn't near the amount that was reported. This, there's nothing at all. I mean, if NFL teams have been trending towards this for a while, but if this becomes the norm where, you know, everybody likes to pretend that NFL teams don't collude collectively, right? There's that's that like open secret that nobody really talks about. And, but is it possible that there will be some kind of passive collusion, which I guess sounds oxymoronic, but passive collusion where like every NFL teams realize like, hey, if all we offer the players, if every, you know, how many, 32 NFL teams, if all NFL teams just said, you know what, you're just going to get these funny money contracts and that's all you're getting. So see ya. And if they all start doing it, that's horrible for the players union, who's already getting a very raw deal in terms of revenue share and all and healthcare and long-term brain health and all that stuff. This is awful. And it's also funny because Russell Okung's like, I'm smart, I'm going to do it, I don't fucking need you. And then you have what is probably a very, very bad contract for him personally and for the rest of the league. But you know what? You better hope you don't get hurt, buddy.
It's a really man, that contract's terrible. There's nothing there. It's like nothing. I love how you go, you start at like the $53 million, and then you slowly, 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 and then it's like they'll pay him like $53 million,
but
like,
but it's really only a 1 year deal for $5 million. It's like, oh wait,
dear
what?
God. Yeah, like how do you?
Yeah, and he has a $1 million workout bonus. Like, huh? And like, okay, well, that's guaranteed, right? Like, no, that's if they allow him to go through the offseason stuff. And a $2 million base salary. Well, that's got to be guaranteed. No, not in the NFL.
It's unbelievable. Like,
and a $2 million roster bonus. Like, oh, bonus? No. That's if he's on the roster.
You just keep peeling this thing and peeling it and peeling it and peeling it. You're like, oh, that's
there's I'm... more in the Pro Football Talk thing, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's like a little dumb intricate stuff. Yeah.
It goes here. Let me hope. Please don't autoplay a video. Please.
Well, you got to make up. It's $5 million. And you got to make up, what, 53?
Mm-hmm. This is more from Mike Florio. The Broncos have until the first day of the 2017 league year to exercise the option for 2017. If they do, Okung gets a $1 million option bonus, an $8 million roster bonus, a $2 million guaranteed base salary, and up to $1.5 million in per-game roster bonuses for 2017. And that's another thing, per-game roster bonus on a per-game basis. Like, all right, I'll see if you... per a source with further knowledge of the contract, Okung must participate in at least 90% of the offseason workouts and be on the roster when the offseason program ends to get the $1 million workout bonus. That's... Oh, man. The contract has a $1.5 million per game roster bonuses from 2018 through 2020 and base salaries of $8.5 million in 2019 and $9 million in 2020. Still, months before the Broncos have to make a $19.5 million decision on Okung, they have a $4 million decision to make, which could make him a free agent again in late August with $1 million for his trouble. That's what you got, Russell. That is some great negotiating. And you know what? NFLPA has got to be the word, because is there no other sport is basketball? The money's all guaranteed, right?
Right. For the most part. I mean, there's little stuff here and there, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, there's what is it there? You know, do they still have the
they have like weird bonuses. Like you make the all NBA team. There's the Rose Rule. If you're a certain age and make an all NBA team or win MVP, like there's little stuff like that that you get extra. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's for the most part pretty guaranteed. And baseball tends to be the same, even though there's not a salary cap. You know, you have most everything guaranteed except for options and buyouts or whatever.
And then there's little team.
Yeah. There's some little bonuses, like, you know, you get a mil if, you know, you win the All-Star game, right? MVP or, you know, stuff like that. But yeah,
and there's some weird stuff where it's like, who was it that had, they have the option to buy like 8 box seat season tickets?
Yeah, that was Ryan Howard or whatever. You got some guys like Albert Pujols has a thing where like he has a job with the Angels for life, or he gets like $50,000 for the next like 200 years or some ridiculous, like just like weird little stuff that comes in here and there. But but it's all guaranteed. I mean, for the most part, they can't cut you tomorrow and say, yeah, get the hell out of here. But
I don't think NHL contracts are that way. NBA not, MLB not. NFL is the only one, and it's the most brutal sport, the sport that takes the most years off of your life, and your salary isn't guaranteed, your bonus money isn't guaranteed, and you can sign a contract that's basically like, we will pay you if we decide to, and come and play for us in this very brutal, violent sport. Thank you. Well, you know what? Good luck. I read the article he wrote for GeekWire, and that was pretty good, I guess. I don't know really what the hell he was talking about. Something about economic distribution of wealth, but his strength appears to not be contract negotiation.
No. So if he's running your startup, have a hire a lawyer. So anybody who if he's in your boardroom at any point, go find a lawyer as quick as possible. Because
you know who also is skimming their Rolodex for attorneys right now is Dwight Howard, because
this is the weirdest. This story is so weird.
Yeah, he's being investigated, but he was the one that's like, I use it all the time.
And
no,
the NBA said they're not going to, as we record, a little bit before, I mean, actually a few days ago before we started recording this, they announced, it was on Monday, they announced that the NBA was just not going to do anything about it, which led a lot of people to say, well, why do you have rules? Like, they're like, it's illegal. So they said that they're not going to do anything about this.
Right.
But that it is illegal.
And okay, so Dwight Howard, as just so we will give the full story here, Is that the bottom of the cut sheet?
It is here. I can read it here. So okay. It's from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Name for a paper, by the way.
Oh, it's the best.
I love the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Whenever I hear somebody on the radio, like they're from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I'm like, oh my God, so amazing. Fuck you, New York Times, Washington Post. Fuck that. I want the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yeah, it's the best.
Or what's the other one? The Plain Dealer?
Oh, the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
I like that, too, but not as good as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
No, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is the best one ever. All right, Howard came to the scorer's table. Dwight Howard, Houston Rockets center, came to the scorer's table during a break as the Hawks, Paul Millsap, the Atlanta Hawks, of course, was headed to the free throw line. Howard sprayed his hands with a can covered in white tape, apparently to hide its contents. After Millsap's first free throw, Howard grabbed the ball. When Millsap got the ball back, it clearly had a foreign substance on it. And this is why I love NBA players, because you put a microphone in front of them, they give you the best quotes, because they don't sugarcoat stuff. They don't dance around the 110%. You know, like, they just say whatever they want, and it's over. He says, I've never felt the ball like that, ever. It was sticky. It was like super glue or something was on there. I couldn't get it off my hands. It was the weirdest thing ever, said Atlanta Hawks forward Paul Millsap. So then, essentially, people found out that it was some form of stick-em. The famous, you know, people use it in the NFL a lot. They, you know, they put stick them on their hands. You know, wide receivers, of course. Now they have gloves that sort of have that natural tendency anymore because you can't really use stick them itself anymore. They've Little Giants. It's very famous from Little Giants where the kid puts too much on and then, you know, his hands are stuck and hilarity ensues. But
He sticks them to the front of his shirt and then he's got to try to pull them out.
Dwight Howard, though, he doesn't really quite get it. He says, I don't know why people are making a big deal out of it. I do it every game. It's not a big deal. I ain't tripping.
He apparently ain't tripping.
He ain't tripping. And
he doesn't give a fuck.
And it's illegal. So the NBA has said it's illegal, but that he's not going to be reprimanded for it.
But...
I don't know, man.
But it's illegal. And he admitted. He's like, yeah, I use it every game. I do it all the time. I do this thing that's against the rules all the time. And I have no idea. What's the advantage? Rebounding? Is that the supposed advantage?
One thing real quick before we get to that. Again, like remember I mentioned, I love NBA players when they talk. Uh-huh. Steven Adams, who's the Oklahoma City center.
Oh, God, yes.
He chimed in here and he said, this is Steven Adams on why on Dwight Howard's stick-em. Maybe that's why he misses free throws.
wait.
Hey!
That's great. You know what?
It might be true. And that brings to our other point that I know at the end of the last show, we said we've been thinking about this. I drove in the car thinking about it on a Monday when I was coming home from work. What are the benefits in basketball?
Yeah.
It's a game where the game is designed to get the ball out of your hands and into a basket.
Right. And it's a big ball. And you have very big hands, and it's not moving fast. It's not like in football, stick-em serves the purpose of allowing you to catch a ball that's moving like opposite to what you want to do with it. You want to catch it and corral it, you know, but you can't. The ball is so weird that you can't put your hand in front of it. Really, you have to kind of corral it. And stick-em allows you to exert a lot more force over the football and correct because it's moving pretty fast. I don't know. Do they put radar guns on quarterbacks? Like there's a thing like, oh, Troy Aikman would throw like 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But, you know, they're moving 80, 85 miles an hour and you have to catch it while on the run and stuff and then carry it and hold it. So stick-em serves a very valuable purpose there because it's an oblong shaped object that's weird to hold on to. A basketball isn't. It's a sphere. And you have gigantic hands because you're 6'11" and it's not moving 85 miles per hour. And
I did a little bit of research because I couldn't stop. I was like, I need to figure out what the benefit. And I found one thing. It was a sports medicine guy at some or not sports medicine, but sports performance guy. I don't know what he was, but a trainer of some sort. And he was talking about it for football, about, you know, the benefits of still using stick-em, if like you should use them or if modern gloves have enough to get you by or whatever. And he mentioned that. And this is what he wrote. I don't have it exactly in front of me with the guy, but he said stick-em also comes in powder form. This is most commonly used in basketball to dry hands and get grip. It's not quite as strongly adhesive as the spray or the paste, and I think it only works on bare hands rather than gloves. So they have a powdered form, and I'm looking at it right now, and it keeps your hands dry.
Is that the shit LeBron would throw up?
I think he just had baby powder, which you could just use. Okay. I think people just use baby powder instead of... But that's the thing is, okay, I get why you would wear baby or put baby powder on there, keeps your hands dry, do that sort of stuff. He was clearly putting, like, the spray on, right?
Right, it was the, like it the, was the spray.
Like the generic, old school, like, the spray.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what it was.
Why?
How many rebounds are you losing because the ball, like you try to grab it and it just squirts out of your hands? That doesn't happen very often. Right? I mean, I played basketball before. Not, of course, not at the NBA level. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I played basketball before and I've been sweaty and trying to grab a rebound. It was a YMCA rec league. We were
that counts. Hey, that counts.
Yeah. But I never had, and I'm a guy that I've got normal sized hands for being, you know, 6'4". I never had a problem grasping the basketball, you know, like coming down with a rebound or holding on to the ball. I don't know, because I didn't have an NFL or an NBA caliber player trying to take it away from me. So maybe you do need that little bit extra. And I totally get it for drying out your hands throughout the course of a game. But, I mean, when it's to the point where it's getting on the basketball and other players are like, what the shit is this? You're using the adhesive stuff. And that, how does that serve any purpose whatsoever helping you do your job, which is to grab the basketball and then put that basketball into the rim? That doesn't make any lick of sense.
I don't get it. He's an idiot, too. Like, Dwight Howard's a complete fool. So... I don't know. I have no idea. Like
maybe the NBA isn't punishing him because they're like, this is just so
like,
dumb.
How dumb could you be? Yeah. It's,
what are you're putting what on your hands? Why don't you need to do that? Why do you think you can't shoot free throws? You idiot.
So Dwight Howard, I'm reading this cause I wanted to read the press release of what the NBA had to say. So the Houston Rockets on Monday received an official warning from the league regarding Dwight Howard's admitted use of Stickum in a recent game. Sources told ESPN.com that the NBA then notified all 30 of its teams on Monday via league memorandum that the Rockets were formal an issue warning, because of the team's use of an adhesive substance on a player's hands during the game. According to the NBA rules, any use of an adhesive substance is prohibited. And during games means the time period from 90 minutes. Okay. So just, you can't use it during the game.
Is
basically what they're saying. So
it's just another one of those things where it's like, why does it even have to be banned? Who's stupid enough to do that?
That's what I think. I don't know. I'm honestly tempted right now to go. Like, I'm gonna go to a wall. Where the hell do they sell Stickum? Where can I find a Stickum? By the way,
I don't know. Never seen Stickum sold everywhere.
Okay, I've
anywhere.
Either. Yeah, like because no, it's not well, practical.
Wait, the College Basketball Invitational just tweeted.
Are we final in Ohio?
Yeah, they. No. The. Oh. Who is this? This is. Oh, it's the Mountain West Network. Hashtag MWN. I have no idea what that means. Mountain West Network on Campus Insiders has more postseason basketball for you as Nevada Hoops hosts EWU in CBI tourney quarters. Woo-hoo! Yeah! All right, sorry. I have absolutely no idea what benefit that serves. It's like professional sports teams banning heroin. Like, okay, what the fuck? What is a guy going to do? Like, oh, but it's on our banned substances list. It's on a performance. Who's going to play the game or be made better by heroin? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you need to ban Stickum? It doesn't make you better at basketball. It doesn't make you any markedly better at what you need to do, which is grab the ball and throw down monstrous dunks on people. I don't know. Dwight Howard is indeed an idiot.
My entire drive home, I'm just thinking, what? Like, of just somebody who's played a lot of basketball. I played basketball earlier today. I'm thinking, why would I want my hands to be stickier? Like, the entire game is me rubbing my hands on my shorts and rubbing them on my shirt to keep them dry because I don't want them sticky. I don't want them wet or have any sort of substance to them. And an adhesive would be even worse because, like, cool, I get to the basket, I'm ready to put it in, and oh, wait, sorry. Like, I got the wide open layup, and it's stuck to my hand. Like...
maybe the only thing is that,
because it doesn't just go away. Like, you get a rebound, yeah, that makes sense. But if that's all you're doing, like, what do you do the next possession? You get a great rebound, and then, like, you get the ball passed down to you, and you're like, nope. You can't even pass the ball. You can't even pass it either, because it's stuck to you again. Like, the passing then becomes, like, the only benefit is maybe somewhat kind of benefiting your rebounding. That's it. That's all.
Right.
What?
And, you know, maybe if they're sticky all the time, they don't get wet. I just...
Like, I get maybe that, like, the powder makes sense. They said they have a dry, but he wasn't right. Putting the, maybe he's so dumb, you know, honestly, and I don't put this past him, that he probably told somebody, give me that, you know, give me the powder, give me that stickum. He's probably used the powder to stickum a bunch.
And so he just said stickum.
And somebody bought him the spray stuff, and he just thought, oh, okay. And put it on his hands.
Oh, it must be the same exact product that acts completely differently than the other one I use, but whatever, it's stickum, I use it. You know what?
That's my
I bet
story.
You that's probably I bet that you that's a story. Lot closer to reality than anybody, including Dwight Howard, would like to admit. That Dwight Howard is just like, I thought the product just changed. I don't know. Whatever. I was just using it. I guarantee you, because right, the drying out stickum is a brand name, I guess. And so their drying out powder is allowed, but the stickum adhesive spray is not allowed. Dwight told an intern, get me a bottle of the stickum. The intern didn't know what the hell they were talking about, so got the spray. And Dwight was just like, oh, okay. Psh, psh. They must have made it. Yeah, that's probably exactly what happened. Jesus Christ, Dwight Howard. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's... unfortunate. Here's what we, Rich, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Can we take a quick break and then can we talk Hogan getting the money?
Oh, paid? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about this so bad. Be sure to stick around the KMP show. When we come back, we'll talk about Hulk Hogan getting that money. That money. Deadspin might be going away. That's weird to think about, that it actually might be going away. We'll talk about it here on the other side of a break. You got the KMP show. We will be right back.
KNP fans, be sure to head over to voicesofwrestling.com this week for an all-new episode of Shake Them Ropes. Each week, Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins bring you Shake Them Ropes, talking all things WWE and NXT. Rob and Jeff will talk all the latest news coming out of WWE, the news heading into NXT TakeOver, and get your thoughts on the build-up to WrestleMania 32. If you're into nostalgia, every week Rob and Jeff discuss a new match on the WWE.com list of the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network. We run through the greatest matches in the history of pro wrestling, and you can share your thoughts on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. In addition to our weekly episodes, after every WWE pay-per-view, we also go live on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, and you can follow along to a live video stream as Shake Them Ropes goes live after every WWE pay-per-view. So fans, do not miss all new episodes of Shake Them Ropes. Voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com.
Hey, Voices of Wrestling fans, this is John from the KMP Show, inviting you to check out all of the lustrous sports talk.
Beaver anus.
Funny sound drops.
Game used cork.
And nearly criminal hijinks at the newly minted member of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network, the KMP Show. Join me, John Playtech, and my co-host Rich Kraich for multiple episodes every single week. We'll talk sports. Real sports. All right, maybe some fake sports too. As well as the hottest issues and takes gripping the sports world, and some mild, very mild, anti-social justice warrior campaigning. You can check out the show as well as subscribe to the Audio Boom feed at kmpshow.com. That's kandpshow.com. The KMP Show at kmpshow.com, with takes as hot as smoldering garbage. Or is that the show?
For the best in pro wrestling coverage and commentary, look no further than Voices of Wrestling. Hi everybody, Rob McCarron here, and at Voices of Wrestling, we specialize in coverage of wrestling in the US and abroad. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Gate, Revolution Pro Wrestling, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and yes, WWE and NXT. We have it all. Reviews of every major show. Podcasts that cover it all, including the flagship Voices of Wrestling podcast hosted by Rich Kraich and Joe Lanza. You won't get opinion this diverse from anyone else. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Watch our live shows on YouTube. And check out our daily reviews. All of this and more at voicesofwrestling.com.
This segment of the KMP Show is brought to you by voicesofwrestling.com/audio.
OtterBox. OtterBox products protect what matters most at every turn. It's more than just your device. We protect what matters to you, your treasured memories of your and your peace of mind. OtterBox engineers confidence by protecting your mobile world. Take 10% off site-wide and receive free shipping when you use code OTTER10 at voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. Don't forget, that's code OTTER10 at voicesofwrestling.com/OtterBox. OtterBox. Welcome back to the KMP Show. I'm your host, John. With me is Rich. And when we last left off, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Hulkster. Again, this isn't a wrestling show, but this I guess you could still call it on the heels of Erin Andrews and that huge settlement that she received from the peephole video taken of her in, when was that, 2010, 2012? Hulk Hogan received a $115 million judgment against Gawker Media and its owner Nick Denton and one of their former editors, AJ Fuckface. I don't remember his name.
A DeLorean or whatever. Yeah, I forgot how to pronounce it, but yeah.
AJ Delirio.
Delirio, that's it, right.
And today, the jury convened to continue deliberating the punitive damages phase of their decision and awarded Hulk Hogan another $25 million in punitive damages. Hold on. I had it somewhere here. Where the hell is it? Okay. Hulk Hogan jury adds $25.1 million to Gawker's liability in sex tape case. Now the point one, remember that point one, it's funny. For those of you that don't know, around 2012, 2013, I want to say, Gawker Media posted what was what actually came to be the fall of Hulk Hogan, real name Terry Bollea, from his stature with the WWE, right? This is, as part of this, this is when Hulk was fired, because part of the tape reveals him after he engages in sex with the wife of Tampa Bay radio host Bubba the Love Sponge, with his wife at Love Sponge's, I think his real name is Todd Clem, at Clem's request. He was the guy like, yo, Hulkster.
That's kind of what he talks like. Have you ever heard Bubba the Love Sponge?
No, I have not.
Yeah, you're close. So,
like, you want to fuck my wife? Hulkster's like, sure.
Yeah, why not? Okay.
And then he did it. And Gawker Media obtained the tape. Apparently, it was a surreptitious recording of Hogan engaging in sex with Clem's wife. And it was full on. It was, you know, doing the dirty. And Gawker Media obtained the whole tape. Hulk had ostensibly no idea that he was being recorded. And Nick Denton, AJ Delirio, and Gawker Media at large decided they're going to publish it. And they whittled it down to, I want to say, about 6 minutes, some of the act and then a little bit of the pillow talk, and released it on their website. And Hogan sued them for it. And I believe he lost in federal court. This was in a state court in Florida. And he was awarded $115 million on Friday and then another $25.1 million today. And that, you know, and it... It's really funny because where is it? Oh, the six jurors said that Gawker was liable for $15 million in punitive damages, and Denton, the owner of Gawker, was liable for $10 million. Delirio was found liable for an additional $100,000. That's where the point one comes from, the $0.1 million. And Monday's decision came after the judge told the jury what each of the defendants was worth, and lawyers for both sides made their arguments. For the company, that's $83 million. For Denton, the figure is $121 million. Judge Pamela Campbell told the jurors, Delirio has no assets but owes $27,000 in student loans. That's the best part. This is Delirio's the guy, for those of you that don't know.
I know the feeling guy, but I'm not like, I don't know how old he is, but.
Well, he was the guy that was flippant on the stand and was about like, he was the one that was like, well, if the celebrity child was 4 years old, we wouldn't publish the sex tape. But if they're five, like, and older.
Like, yeah. You're trying to make jokes about like that during like a trial. Like, what are you doing?
No, Yeah, don't do that.
Like, you might not want to do the child porn joke on a trial about, like, the decency of your web. Like, you might want to just keep that one in the holster there. But
yeah, Denton's butt probably puckered up right when because he knew right where he was going. Like, he was like, "Oh God, please don't be a reverend on the stand." And he's like, "Fuck it, I'm doing it because I'm." He just looks like a douchebag too.
Oh yeah.
Hilarious. But Hulkster now awarded, let's see, all told, that's what, 130? God, I'm bad at math. $140.1 million.
That'll work.
For Hulk Hogan.
He was broke a few years ago, but he's good now.
He's good. And as I understand, as I've read from other people reporting on this, Gawker plans to immediately appeal, of course, as is your right in a court of law or a court of, I guess it would be equity. Is this an equity court? Anyway, Gawker Media is going to appeal the decision, and they thought there's a bunch of evidence, I guess, that nobody really saw. But the interesting thing is that the way to appeal, most times when there's an appeal, a judge will stay the order, like the order to pay. They won't make the defendant pay the complainant the damages awarded. They'll say they'll stay the order, and then while the appeals process rides out. Apparently in Florida, that isn't the case. If you win a judgment, you get your money, and you get it right the hell now.
Oh, Florida.
Best
state in the union.
Yep. That's why all the athletes live there, because no income tax whatsoever. Except it's weird, because it's like, well, don't you get taxed? They get taxed everywhere they play. Everywhere they make their money, like if you can, like Jeter lives in Florida, but he has to pay New York State income tax because that's where he makes his money. So living in Florida isn't really it's only of tangential benefit for your auxiliary income. Anyway, I digress. Hulk Hogan, not broke anymore. Does he now again have more money than his daughter? Is he back above her in the hierarchy of having money?
Yeah. Well, because Linda took all of his money the before, so I don't know. Oh, and Nick Hogan, his son killing a man and him trying to get him out of that.
Yeah, when he bought him the 1,000 horsepower Supra to have. That'll happen. But you know what? I don't know the merits of the case. Rich, at some point, even though you're a celebrity, even though Hulk Hogan's argument was pretty weird in that he was talking about like Hulk Hogan as a character, a mask that he wears, and you know, Terry Bollea, the person hurt by the sex tape, is not Hulk Hogan, right? That was basically his argument, and that's why, you know, it's you're causing me great emotional distress and you shouldn't do this. And do you agree that there's a point, much like the Aaron Andrews video, where this is really hurtful and somebody's got to pay?
Well, yeah, and I think, again, there's just the issue of, hey, you guys, you know, you attained it illegally, and it's an illegal tape, and you can't just say, all right, well, fuck it, we're going to show it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that, there's rules to that. That's the thing, right?
Regardless of
his celebrity status or whatever, like, it's still, it was obtained illegally and it's an illegal tape. You just can't, you know, decide, hey, let's do it. But there's some interesting theories that I've read about, you know, Hogan's involvement and, you know, if he tried to sell the tape and no one wanted it and that's when he decided he should sell it or something.
Oh.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's actually part of it, but
well, I saw some text messages between Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge, and he seemed pretty pissed off about it.
Yeah. So I agree. So I don't believe that. I don't know exactly what happened, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of weirdness going on with that trial. But no, I'm with it. Like, I think Hogan's still a piece of shit, and he's a giant piece of shit person, but he definitely was, shockingly, like wrap your head around that when it was all said and done, Hulk Hogan looked like the better person.
Right, Hulk Hogan was wronged and hurt by somebody.
Right, and they, like... And, like, he was doing all this weird stuff. Like, the thing, like, you're talking about, throughout the trial, he was talking about it, like, oh, you know, like, Hulk Hogan says his penis size is this. Because Gawker's defense was, hey, if this guy was so hurt by it, why did he go on TV shows afterwards and talk about, oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan? Like, he was not really hiding from it initially. And then all of a sudden he said, oh, wait, no, I didn't want that tape out. No, that's bad. No. So, like, that's his contention that, well, Hulk Hogan, the character, like, the tape. Like, there was a bunch of weird stuff. And honestly, Gawker probably had him at that point, but they couldn't help themselves from being just raging dickwads that in the end, the courts were just like, no, you know what? Fuck you.
Right.
And like the legalities of it were just there. Like it shouldn't have honestly been that long of a trial, because they probably looked at it and said, hey, like, so he didn't know he was being filmed? No. And you released it? Yeah. Okay. Like,
yeah, can't do that. This is the same site, by the way, Gawker Media, that was really, really angry that websites were allowing the Fappening pictures to be hosted, and they didn't do it themselves. Now, you know, this is going to be compared to the Aaron Andrews case, because that's fresh, that's top of everybody's mind. But really, the more apt comp here is the Fappening, when that hacker broke into a bunch of celebrities' iCloud accounts and found a bunch of racy pictures and posted them online. Gawker Media was shaming people, shaming websites, Reddit specifically. How can they host these images? You can't publish them. That's a crime. That's illegal. You shouldn't be doing that. This is the same site that posted Hulk Hogan and was irreverent about it. Like, a judge ordered us to take it down. We're not going to. We're Gawker Media. And now it's come home to roost, because if this judgment stands, I don't think there's any way Gawker Media survives, because the company itself was valued at $83 million. Denton was valued at $110 million. And these are all asset valuations. They're all pie in the sky. If you could sell this for the maximum amount that it could possibly be worth, that is your asset. That is how much that asset is valued at. How much real cash reserves do they have? How much real equity do they have in the business of being Gawker Media? Probably not much. And they are going to go away. So there's going to be a lot of irreverent, flippant liberal writers, bloggers looking for jobs in the New York area sometime soon. But, you know, I'd be okay with it if they were like, because there is kind of an argument. Like, Hulk Hogan talks about his sex life a lot. Hulk Hogan talks about this, and he talks specifically about screwing Clem's wife. That makes it kind of newsworthy. And I get that argument. I can, if I squint real hard, I can see it, and I can go, yeah, you know, you kind of got a thing there. But if you weren't just such a, just douchebags about all of it, like, just, I don't know, but it's good.
Like you're saying, like, if they said, oh shit, we didn't know that was illegal, or hey, you could just plead ignorance. Oh, we didn't know Florida law didn't allow that, or we didn't know, you know, and when the judge says, hey, take it down, they went, yeah, okay. But they were like, nope, we're not going to take this down under no circumstances. Like, that's where it was just like, all right, like.
Right, because you can take it down and then still make fun of Hulk Hogan for being part of a CD sex tape and being
But the ad revenue. They wanted the ad revenue, so that's
But they wanted the ad revenue and for everybody everywhere, because they didn't like Hulk Hogan, because Hulk Hogan is an unlikable guy.
Because he's a bad person. Because he's a bad guy.
Now where did what gets you, because this video is also, again, this is where he was caught after having sex with a woman, saying, you know, Brooke is banging a black guy. He was throwing around N bombs like pretty free and clear, free and easy. He was letting those N bombs fly. Is this what more is there to Hogan just being a piece
of
shit?
He's just a liar too. He's just internal wrestling stuff as well. Okay. He's just kind of a bad dude. Like, and he kind of let his son kill somebody and then kind of blamed the son's friend who's paralyzed. So
he bought the beer too, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He's there are a lot of reasons why he's a bad dude, but,
oh man,
that
could
be a
Hogan
whole show.
Doing
on, I don't know what Nick Hogan's doing, man.
Is he still alive? Let's see. Wikipedia, always a good source.
Is he still alive? Yeah.
Incarceration on May 9th, Balea entered a no contest plea and was sentenced to 8 months in Pinellas County Jail. The sentence also called for Balea to serve 5 years of probation, 500 community service hours, and his driver's license was suspended for 3 years. He was granted early release on May 4th of 2012 from his felony probation. Yeah, he hasn't done much since, I guess. He's just kind of gone the way of the dodo bird since then, because, well, yeah, he was also pretty unlikable. Oddly enough, son of douchebag, unlikable wrestler Hulk Hogan.
Also unlikable, yeah.
Unlikable douchebag. But Hulk Hogan, very rich now, and hopefully he gets his money, because you know what? You shouldn't be able to do that to people. And sad, Anthony Davis may get fucked by the Rose Rule. I read that today. Just as a little throwaway thing.
Oh, yeah, because he got shut down for the year. Yeah, he'll get He won't get his bonuses that he was going to get for making the All-NBA team.
Right, because he was eligible for if he were to make it, was it All-NBA?
I believe so, yeah.
3 years or something. He's eligible for a 25% of a salary cap deal as opposed to 15%. I believe that's the number now. And if he was to do it again, he would be eligible for a 30% deal, 30% of the team's cap. So poor Anthony Davis. We'll talk about it next time on the KMP show. Rich, you calling it good? We good?
I think we're good. Yeah, this is a good one. Nice, right. Short, nice, yeah. Concise. This is the one we can, yeah, sell to advertisers. You know, see, hey, we can stick, yeah, to a format and a schedule.
Right. And we also need to not mark it down. We are doing the next episode we do will be an we do, not if I do a shorty. The next episode we do will be the no swear,
okay,
show. And we'll try that. We'll see how we like it. See if we're good at it. Right? All right. This has been,
I'm scared.
I know. I'm so terrified. Do I have any drops that I can't play? Oh yeah.
All of them. Basically, fuck you.
Yeah, I can't have out. That. I can't. You so. Big old bitch. Are we count? Well, okay. Let's go.
Bitch,
how about we
no,
do an FCC worthy show?
Okay. That's fine.
Something,
yeah,
we could, yeah, something that could play on the air. So bitch is okay, ass. I don't think you can call a woman a bitch. I think they dumped that. But you can just say bitch.
Right.
You can say ass, balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitch ass balls. Okay, yeah, we're good balls. There.
Yeah, I think we're good. I'm good then.
We can't play this.
Cork.
I mean,
no,
maybe we could.
You could.
Yeah.
But I think maybe intent they would get a little weird about of saying, eh,
yeah.
What are you trying to do?
I mean, I could play all day.
Beaver anus.
Because that's okay.
That's fine, yeah.
Beaver anus is okay. This I cannot. Everybody has affinity for cock.
That's out, yeah. Cock, yeah. You could be like, no, it's cork. It's just, you
know, no, it's Mike Francesa.
Yeah, just, that's you just blatantly talking about penises. So that's that's not going to,
yes,
work.
But I will play the shit out of this.
My name is Munenori Kawasaki. I'm from Japan. I'm a Japanese.
Can't ban that one. You cannot, yeah, silence Minoru Kawasaki.
No, and you can't silence Sheamus.
Fuck this.
He's not saying fuck this. He's fact saying is. Fact is.
Fuck this.
He's just.
Fuck this.
You know, it's
Sheamus.
We're towing that line. All right, next
Celtic
episode
Warrior,
will be
baby.
The. What? How does this song go? Saint Faye lost her head.
Yeah, it's a shameful thing.
Oh yeah,
and then I don't know the lyrics. I don't know the other lyrics.
Oh, these words are true. God, now he's part of the League of Nations.
Yep.
Woo! Bad. Like, didn't they already kind of do something like that in the '80s?
They do it all the time. Yeah, they're just like let's grab. Like, we don't know what to do with you four. Hey, you guys are now.
Yeah, you're now Russian. You're now British.
We're gonna do it after Survivor Series. Go. Yeah, we had Survivor Series, which would have been a great time to debut you guys before that and use that, but now we'll just use it after to survive. I don't know.
All right.
And well, I'll talk about the Voice of Wrestling. We're not going to talk about the League of Nations.
Yes,
yeah,
voicesofwrestling.com is where you can find that, the flagship show.
Yeah.
We'll talk all about this kind
the League
of stuff.
Of Nations. We'll break down the League of Nations this week. We will not.
I want to hear it. I want you to link me to like the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
I want a breakdown of the League of Nations. I want you and Highfalutin Joe Lanza to talk about the League of Nations.
Okay.
I want it broken down piece by piece, match
it.
By match.
Yep.
And see where they can go.
You got
all
it.
Right.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
I promise. Just, I promise, yeah.
Okay, there we go. This has been the KMP Show, episode number 15. We thank you all for joining. You can follow the show at KANDP Show on Twitter. You can check out the Audio Boom feed and subscribe at KANDPShow.com. That's KANDPShow.com. Also search for us on iTunes. Just search the KMP Show. We thank you for sharing the show with all of your friends. You can follow me on Twitter at John's Voices. Of course, as always, go to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Bookmark the click-through link. That way, every time you shop, you're helping us out. Yay! It's a good thing. voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Thank you guys for joining. For Rich Kraich.
You want that cork. Here it is.
I'm John Playtech.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. We are out. Bye.
That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Well, bye.